Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we continue our examination of Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, and looking particularly at the doctrine of the security of the believer, as it is emphasized in verses 11 and 12, we have come to answer the question, where is it that Christ keeps believers safe? I read again John 17, verse 11, where Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." I pause for just a moment to welcome you to this Wednesday, June 18 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank those whose gifts help us to maintain this program on the station. Well, Christ's telling us that he keeps believers safe in the world. Though we are not of the world, verses 14 and 16, we are different from the world. We have been transformed by the power of God so that we are no longer of the same nature as the rest of humanity. Though members of the human race, we no longer belong to the same race as formerly, because salvation is creating a new race, a redeemed race. So, the world in its unredeemed form, the world in its present form, is a world that is headed to destruction. But those who are redeemed by the power of God are headed in a different direction, and they have been transformed. Their very nature has been transformed, and they are no longer of the same substance as before. Therefore, in the words of Christ, we believers, we disciples of Christ, are no longer of the world. But we are not taken out of the world. Though not of the same substance, not literally of the same race of humanity as we were before, we are not taken out of the world, but we are rather sent into the world, as he tells us in verse 18, because we have a mission to accomplish. And though externally we would appear to be people of the same race, we would appear to belong to the same humanity, and indeed, externally we do. Nevertheless, we are no longer the same. We are citizens of heaven who are sent into the earth, into the world, in order to proclaim the message of God's great salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how he put it in verse 18? "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now, how did God send Jesus the Son into the world? Well, he sent him from heaven to earth to accomplish a mission upon the earth, among the inhabitants of the earth. Well, that's what he's doing with his people. We who are citizens of another country, we who are citizens from heaven, are sent, as it were, from heaven to earth. Ah, but you say, "I've never been to heaven." No, not yet. But nevertheless, by the redeeming power of God, you have been made a citizen of heaven. You belong to a different realm. You belong to a different race, but you have not been taken out of the present world. You have not been removed from proximity with your former race, but rather you are sent into the world to accomplish a mission. Now Christ, as he prays this prayer, reminds us that he is exiting out of the world. Verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." Christ was exiting out of the world. I come to thee. I am coming to thee. Now, Vincent says this is a futuristic present. I am coming to thee. And therefore, what he's saying is Christ, in his bodily presence, in his former condition and influence, would no longer be able to keep them because he was transferring from earth to heaven. He was going to be removed from earth to heaven. But he's committing the keeping of his loved ones, his redeemed ones, into the care of the Heavenly Father. Now, the fact of the matter is, and we're talking about where are believers kept safe and secure, and the answer to that is they are kept safe in the world, this very world from which we have been rescued in order to be saved, and this very world that constitutes a great threat to our souls because of the evil that is in the world is the very place where our souls are kept safe and secure by the power of God. God could take believers immediately home as soon as they were saved, like he did, for example, with the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was saved and then almost immediately transported out of this world into the presence of his Savior in heaven, and was, from that point on, certainly secure. "Today," said Jesus, "shalt thou be with me in paradise." Someone has said that Christ was crucified between two thieves. One was saved, one was not. One was saved at the 11th hour, one was saved at the final hour, and the other was not. And someone has said that the reason God did that was, on the one hand, so that no one should despair, but no one should delay. I think that's a pretty good way to put it, that no one should despair. God is able to save people on the very threshold of death. Sometimes we don't believe that, or sometimes we are inclined to not want to believe that. I find it strange that Christians should not want to believe that God could or would save someone just literally hours before their death. Now, I recognize that deathbed professions are not always necessarily genuine professions anymore, listen to me, than childhood professions are necessarily genuine professions, or that professions in any other age are necessarily genuine professions. I recognize that. And I furthermore recognize that a deathbed profession, as we tend to call them, doesn't give us very much opportunity to examine the evidence, to examine the genuineness of it. We don't have an opportunity to see the fruit, or at least very much fruit. We don't have the opportunity to see any fruit over an extended period of time, which is really our only significant comfort in regard to the question of a person's salvation. If they manifest the fruit of the Spirit over a period of time, that's evidence of genuine conversion. And anything short of that is always subject to serious questions. And when somebody is saved on their deathbed, we don't have that opportunity. But don't you ever suppose that God does not save people on their deathbed, and don't you ever resent the people that God saves on his deathbed? When I find people who seem to resent it, I wonder if they don't have the Pharisaical attitude rather than the attitude of a child of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and so-called saints on earth are protesting and resenting, like the elder brother when his prodigal brother was saved, and he resented it. I had to live all my life
for the father, and this prodigal goes out and wastes his substance and riotous living, and then just comes dancing in here like this at the last minute? Why, that's certainly not fair. Well, listen, dear friend, what makes you think that your salvation is fair? I mean, what do you think? Do you think you earned it? Or is it by grace? Is that God's gracious act of mercy to you to save you when you do not deserve it? Or do you think somehow you have earned your salvation? Or do you think it's a combination of God's grace and your merit? I want to tell you, dear friends, that salvation is all of grace. Not partly of grace and partly of human merit. It's all of grace. And grace is unmerited favor. And the elder brother no more deserved the father's favor than the prodigal. And the child who is saved in youth and lives his whole life for the Lord Jesus Christ is no more deserving of salvation than the thief on the cross who is saved on his deathbed and goes out into eternity without performing many works for his Savior. One is no more deserving than the other, and one is no greater act of grace than the other. They are both acts of grace. And God could take believers immediately home as soon as they are saved. But in most cases, he does not. In most cases, we do live upon the earth for a period of time. Why? He's telling us here. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He leaves us here in order that we may represent him upon the earth. He sends us into the world on a mission. He wants us to understand that we are citizens of another country, and we have been sent on a mission. Like missionaries who are sent from the United States to a foreign country, there to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to call men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. So every child of God should think of himself as a missionary from a foreign country. We are citizens of heaven who are sent on a mission into the world. God sends us into the world. We are not of the world, but we have not been taken out of the world, but rather we are sent into the world. And you say, isn't that dangerous to be rubbing shoulders with the unbeliever? Isn't that dangerous to deliberately go into the world and be subject to all of the influences of the world? Yes, it is dangerous. And we must be on guard. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise to drag thee from the skies. I can't remember the exact words. They escaped me at the moment. But that's the whole point here. Christ is promising to keep his followers safe in the world. That's the whole point here. That's the idea. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Where are the children of God kept safe and secure? They are kept safe and secure in this very world that is filled with peril to their souls. But God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.